This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
A few years older than him. And some of the scholars, they tell us from that while we should always look for compatibility, when there's goodness in a couple, when there's goodness in a relationship, then you should get on it right away. And they say that's what Khadijah did. She saw the goodness in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and she broke the norms of the culture. The norm of the culture of that time was for the woman to be proposed to. But Khadijah radiallahu anha, a strong businesswoman, wealthy, she said, I'm not about to let this slip past me just for some cultural norms. And so she sends Nafisa to her friend to go give the message, and we talked about that. As we're getting closer to this moment, there are still a few things that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has to learn in order to be ready for the prophethood. And there's more things that the society needs to see about him. See, part of what he's going through before the message is getting him ready. But another part of what he's going through is getting everyone else ready. So when that light comes, when that nur comes, when that blessed message comes, there's no denying who he is. So when Khadijah radiallahu ta'ala anha, when she married the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, she had this servant by the name of Zayd. And Zayd was about 10 years younger than the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So he's about 15 years old. He's a teenager. Zayd has a crazy story. Zayd's story is that, by the way, Zayd is the only companion of the Prophet who's mentioned in the Quran. The only one. Zayd's story is crazy. Zayd was a young boy. He's playing outside in front of his house when a neighboring tribe attacks his family's tribe. They attack the tribe. They pillage. They take things. They steal him. He's kidnapped and taken away. In those times, it was the norm. If someone was kidnapped and taken away, well, that was it. They were sold into slavery, sold into bondage. And here this young boy is now 13, 12, 11. He's cut off from home. He's disconnected from everything he's known, the streets that he's known, the aunts and uncles that he's known, the parents that he's known. He's cut off from them in an instant. Slowly but surely, somehow, just through trade and buying and selling, he ends up in Mecca as a slave. And lo and behold, he's with Khadijah. Before I go forward, it may seem that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is putting us through what seems like our darkest moment. But in fact, Allah is setting you up for the biggest light to come into your life. Of course, we always ask Allah to get us out of difficulty. But when you can't remove the difficulty, and when dua is not removing the difficulty, our job is to be in that moment and realize there's something Allah wants me to get from this moment. There's something Allah wants me to get from this moment. So what happens? Zayd ends up in the house of Khadijah. He works for her. When the Prophet ﷺ marries Khadijah, Khadijah wants to give the Prophet ﷺ a gift. So she says to the Prophet ﷺ, she says, I have two servants, and I want you to look at either one of them, and I want one of them to be your servant from this moment on. The Prophet ﷺ is only 25. Oh, I could use a hand around. He's like his assistant. He's only 10 years younger than him. Man, he could unload the dock, you know, unload the merchandise. He could help me out. The Prophet ﷺ looks at Zayd and he says, I want Zayd to be with me. The Prophet ﷺ brings Zayd close to him. And he works with Zayd, and eventually the narrations tell us that فَأَعْتَقَهُ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ, the Prophet ﷺ, he freed him. He's like, man, you don't need to be a slave. We're tight. And in those times, if a slave was freed, then they stayed kind of loyal. They stayed close to the one that had freed them. So he freed him. Yo, go, you're good, man. وَتَبَنَّاهُ. And not only that, now when they would walk around, the Prophet ﷺ would say, Ibni, this is my son. So he became known around the town as Zayd ibn Muhammad, Zayd the son of Muhammad, Zayd the son of Muhammad. Time, a few years passes, not much, a year, 2 years. And his father is missing him so much that he writes lines of poetry that circle the Arabian Peninsula because of how profound they are. Poetry was a message. That's how they would get word out. It was like a tweet, you could say. And it went viral, this poem, because it was lit. It was bars, fire. So when they heard this poetry, people start spreading it. And when they spread the poetry, they spread the cliff notes too. Like, yo, before you hear this, you got to know the backdrop to it. And then they would drop the lines of poetry. Lo and behold, the father gets word months later that, yo, we found your son. Your poem reached Mecca, and your son is in Mecca. So the father, Hadith is his name, Hadith and his uncle, they get on their camel, they go straight to Mecca. And listen to the narration. They go through the city, they ask, does anyone know where Muhammad is? Does anyone know where Muhammad is? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I told you, a lot of this stuff that happens to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it's for people to realize who he was, for the reality of his character to be witnessed. Listen to this. فَدَخَلَ حَارِثْ وَأَخُوهُ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ. Harith and his brother, they go and they meet the Prophet. He's not a prophet yet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they start to speak really highly to him because they're going to ask him for something big. They say, O son of Abdullah, O son of Abdul Muttalib, O leader of his people, O the one who lives in Mecca. They're just praising him. O the one who feeds the poor and the one who takes care of the prisoners. We have come to you because our son is with you. Be kind to us and take this money and ransom for him. فَقَالَ النَّبِي صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. The Prophet looks up when they say that, and he says, مَنْ هُوَ? Who are you talking about? And they say, Zayd ibn Harith. He goes, oh, Zayd. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم immediately, he's only 26, 27 years old, he immediately calls Zayd in. Zayd, first thing he says is, Zayd, do you know who these men are? You know what I mean? Like when your uncle used to come to daycare, pick you up. You know what I mean? Come to school, pick you up early. Do you know who this person is first? So, do you know who these men are? Zayd, 17-year-old young man. He goes, yeah, I know who they are. I recognize them. That's my dad and that's my uncle. And the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, in shitta aqim indi. He goes, if you like, you can stay with me. But if you want, go home. Go to your old town. See your old friends. Go with your uncle. Be with your dad. See your mom. Go back home. فَقَالَ زَيْد. Zayd assessed the situation. And he says, بَلْ أَقِيمُ عِنْدَكَ. He goes, no, I want to stay here. I don't want to go anywhere. I want to stay here. And then he says these words. And as I was reading them, before I read them, I want to ask you a question. What would you give to be with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? What would you give to be next to him on the day of judgment? What would you give up, I should ask you, to be with him? Do we truly love him? Do you know what Zayd said? وَمَا أَنَا بِالَّذِي أَخْتَارُ عَلَيْكَ أَحَدًا. I can't choose anyone over you. أَنْتَ مِنِّي بِمَكَانِ الْأَبْ وَالْأُمْ. You, O Muhammad, to me, you're my mother and my father. I want you to understand that as people got close to him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as we are in this blessed month of Ramadan and we sit in these final minutes of our fast and we are reflecting on the character of the chosen messenger of Allah, I want you to reflect on how people who got closer and closer and closer to him, they realized how beautiful he was. And there's two questions. The question I have first is, when people get close to you, do they see beauty? Number one. And number two, have you started to see his beauty yet? Have you started to see him in a dream yet? Have you started to just think about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? How does he do this? How does he do that? His father and uncle are standing there and they say, وَيْحَكَ يَا زَيْدِ أَتَخْتَارُ الْعُبُودِيَّةِ عَلَى الْحُرِّيَّةِ They say, Zayd, what's wrong with you? Are you choosing to be a slave over freedom? And y'all got to listen to these words. He says, I'd rather be a slave of Muhammad than free in this dunya. I don't know about y'all, but we have a choice to be on this deen. We have a choice to fast right now. We have a choice to pray. We have a choice to be abd. And in this moment, when someone's asking, don't you want to eat right now? Don't you want to not wake up for Fajr? The answer is the same answer that Zayd gave. I'd rather be a slave of Allah than just free in this dunya. So he says, Wa ala abika wa ammik, you choose this man? Qala na'am, yes, I choose this man. And look what he says. Inni qad ra'aytu min hadha ar-rajul shay'an. I've seen stuff in this man. Ma ana billadhi akhtaru alayhi ahadan. I pray Allah make that me and you. He says, I've seen stuff in Muhammad. I'll never choose him, someone else over him. What would it be? Ask Allah to make it so that in your heart, you see beauty in Muhammad, so you choose his sunnah, his way, over every other way. Ask Allah to give you these final moments of fasting. When we ask Allah for all of the dunya. What if tonight, what if today's in the fast, you just dedicated it to one thing. Oh Allah, make the sunnah beloved to me. Make the way of Muhammad beloved to me. Imagine if that dua is answered. فَلَمْ يَزَلْ زَيْدٌ عِنْدَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ When the Prophet ﷺ heard this, he said, okay, unk. That's our word, right? He said, okay, uncle, dad, he's chosen. And from that moment, Zayd ibn Harith, it was known as Zayd ibn Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is blessed with four daughters and two sons. Remember I told you Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted the Rasul to learn everything that he needed to learn in order to be able to serve the role as a prophet. We said he had to have a job. He had to learn responsibility. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had to have a wife so he learned what it meant to truly interact with people closely. But not only that, and I want us to reflect on this, no matter where you are in life, I want you to connect to this moment. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam first had Zainab when he was 30 years old. When he was 34, he had Ruqayya, radiallahu anhum ajma'in. And he had Ummi Kulthum when he was 37. You know what that means, y'all? A lot of us are waiting for the right moment to make our move. We're waiting, whether that move be spiritual, financially, whatever. We're waiting for the right moment. We're waiting till I finish school, till I get these things, till I... Ibn Ata'illah Askandari, he says, stop waiting for moments of righteousness because they'll never come. You have to choose righteousness. And the other thing we have to understand is we don't know when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to put something upon us. Let me explain something. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and now I'm fast forwarding a bit, but we're going to come back because I truly want you to understand and see the household. The hadith says, that one time Gabriel, the angel Gabriel, Jibril, he came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Khadijah was in the room. And Gabriel said, give her salam from Allah. Give her a salam. Allah gives her salam. And Allah has promised her a house. Y'all ready? A house with no noise in it. Now, some of us don't get how precious a house with no noise would be. But when you had, subhanAllah, when revelation began, Zainab was 10, Ruqayya was only 7 years old, Ummi Kulthum was 3 years old, and Fatima was born 1 year in the first year of revelation. That means when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was going up on the mountain because he needed solitude, because that's what Allah, that means she was expecting around that same time. With all of these circumstances, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him revelation with a 7-year-old, a 10-year-old, a 7-year-old, a 4-year-old, and a wife that's expecting, but it's not done. Zayd bin Haritha, his adopted son, is with them. And guess who else is with them? Ali radiallahu anhu. Let's talk about this just so we understand who he was, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When the Prophet, when Ali radiallahu anhu was about 8 years old, when Ali was about 8 years old, Abu Talib went through a very, very difficult time. There was no money in the house. So the narration says that the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, he's in his early 30s, right when he has a lot of children. He goes to his uncle Abbas, and he says, Abbas, my uncle Abu Talib, your brother, he's running out of money and he has a lot of children. Why don't me and you go and we lighten his load? What does this mean? This means that the Prophet ﷺ was teaching me and you something. We have to be individuals that are taking responsibility for the weak of our family and the weak of our community. He goes to Abu Talib and he says to his uncle, what's amazing is this is the same uncle that lifted him up in his moment of weakness. But here's the crazy, life will never prepare you to take care of a parent that used to carry you. But it will happen. Life will never prepare you for the moment that you have to be the crutch and help your parent walk, the same one that taught you how to walk. In this moment, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what does he do? He goes to Abu Talib and he says, uncle, we can't watch you struggle like this. Me and your brother Abbas are here. He's going to take Ja'far and I'm going to take Ali to live with me. And from that moment, the Prophet's house sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not a house of idealness ready for prophethood. It was a house that was filled with family and dependence on him. And it was in that circumstance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he was 35 years old, wanted everyone to truly know who he was. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was 35 years old, he has 2 children, one on the way, Ali growing up in his house, Zayd bin Haritha is there. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is 35 years old, something happens. There was a lady that was doing, tajmir, that bukhur, tajmir, right? Doing the Sahaba would come and take it from him. It's lit over there. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was like, I've never seen these type of parties yet. So he said, yo, can you watch the herd while I go? The Prophet's like, I just want to see what it's like. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, I started to go in that direction and I sat down for a moment and he said, I fell asleep. And I woke up to the sunrise the next day. He says, that was weird. I don't even know how. I wasn't even tired. What happened? He says, the next day, the party, you know those Arab parties be going long. They don't be one day. You know, like 5-day weddings. So the next day he says to his buddy, he goes, yo, I didn't get a chance to go. Can you watch the herd while I go this time? And he says, yeah, go ahead. He says, I started to go. And he says, the same thing happened. I sat down, headache, I sat down. And before you know it, I pass out. I wake up the next day. The Prophet says, he's not a prophet yet. He goes, nah, this ain't for me. You know my lesson from this? I converted when I was 18. And I think maybe some of y'all could resonate with what I'm about to say. Before I converted, there were things in my natural fitrah, my natural disposition, that I didn't like. But I forced myself to do them because everybody was doing them. Everybody said it was supposed to be lit. So I'm at the spot like, I guess this is lit. Low-key, I would rather be home right now reading a book. Sometimes we keep putting ourselves into fitna. If Allah puts your disposition as such that you don't like those things, that is a blessing from God. Take that. Take that. Understand that Allah is protecting you from so much. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was being protected. So he's moving these boulders and his uncle is like, bro, if you just take off your izar, we're all men here. Take off your izar, put it over your shoulders, you could carry the boulders better. He's like, okay, Unc, no problem. He starts to open, and he's like, I fell out unconscious. And I woke up. I just tied my izar on. And from that moment, I never uncovered myself in public in front of anyone. Allah was protecting his modesty. He was protecting his haya. These were things the Prophet was being given because something was about to come to him. And he had to be ready for that moment. What I want us to understand is there's promises God has for me and you. Keep yourself pure for when those moments come, you're ready to take them. Protect yourself so you're ready to take those moments when they come. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the narration says, فَلَمَّا بَلَغَتِ الْقَبَائِلِ فِي الْبُنْيَانِ. They're all working together. All of the tribes are working together to rebuild the Kaaba. They're rebuilding this building of monotheism. But they're all mushriks. They're all polytheists. How ironic is that? But it doesn't work because when they get to the most critical part, they can't finish the job. Maybe because of the shirk. Maybe because the idolatry. Allah didn't want them to finish that job. So what happens? Beautiful, beautiful moment. They get to the black stone, that one corner of the Kaaba. And now everybody's like, all right, I'm about to put it in a spot. Everybody, no, you ain't. And one tribe goes, no, no, we'll put it in. Another tribe goes, no, no, we'll put it in. And tempers get flared up. And everyone's like, no, no, no. Who's going to do this? It gets to the point where they bring a bowl of blood, which was a symbolic thing of war. And they're all about to put their hands in it. That means this won't stop until blood is shed. And right before this moment comes, Walid bin Mughira, he's one of the eldest of the group. He goes, this is nonsense, y'all. I have a solution. Right now, in this moment, I have a solution. The next one to walk in that door, whatever, whoever it is, no one knows the next one to walk into the sanctuary, the next one to walk into the Masjid al-Haram, we'll let that person decide. Everyone's like, you know what? That seems really fair. Because you ain't got x-ray vision. And you don't know who's out there. So you know what? Let's leave it to that. The narration is beautiful. They all agree. فَأَشْخَصُوا أَبَصَارَهُمْ إِلَىٰ بَابِ الْمَسْجِدِ. They're all watching. Who will be that next person to walk in? يَا تُرَىٰ أَنْ يَكُونَ هَذَا الدَّاخِلِ. Who's going to enter the masjid? فَإِذَا بِهِ الصَّادِقَ الْأَمِينَ. Picture the moment. See the Prophet in your mind. The Prophet ﷺ walking in humbly to the masjid. Want to finish helping the work we were doing here. Coming back from home, his house of four children. Comes back home. Walks into the masjid. And the moment he walks in, almost like a surprise party. You know, you walk in. The moment he walks in, what does everyone say? Al-Amin al-Sadiq. Oh, the trustworthy, the truthful. The truthful. That's on everyone in Mecca, all of their tongues. They said, al-Sadiq, al-Amin, radina. Look at how time is so beautiful. In a few years from this moment, this same man will stand on a mountain and say, God has given me a message. Do you believe in me? And these same people that are saying, As-Sadiq al-Amin, they're going to flip the script. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this moment wanted everyone to see the reality of who he was. And not only see, but to say it. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he walks in. As-Sadiq al-Amin, radina, we're happy. Let him do it. They explain to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they say, هذا الأمين رضينا هذا محمد. This is Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Last week I spoke about a key attribute that we have to embody within us. This ummah is built and always grows so much that we have trustworthiness and truthfulness within us. The moment we cheat, we lie and become deceptive, we lose the barakah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's part of this ummah. We lose that. That's the amanah. The ability to hold a trust. the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they explained to him, here's the situation. And not only was he trustworthy, but he was intelligent. The scholars, they say that Allah wanted to show the people, not only was he trustworthy, but he knew how to do the job. He says, halumma ilayya thawban. Bring a thawb, bring a blanket, bring a sheet. They brought a sheet and they put the rock in the middle of the sheet. And he said, I want every tribe to grab a corner. They all grabbed a corner. They carried it to the corner of the Kaaba. And I told you, it's as if God could not allow the polytheists to complete this building that was built for monotheism, for the oneness of God. So it's as if they couldn't do it until the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam comes. They bring the cloth close to the corner. And with his own blessed hands, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sets the foundation of the Kaaba, not realizing he's setting the foundation for us that will come many years later. He's 35. He doesn't know prophethood is coming. Now, what else happens? There's one more thing I really want to talk about tonight. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a, what's the word, y'all? A girl dad? What's it called? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was blessed with daughters. He was blessed with four amazing, beautiful, loving, and caring daughters that were with him in every moment of his life. What is amazing is that he lost Zainab radiallahu anha, as we mentioned. When the Prophet receives revelation, she's 10. She's there in the toughest moments. The Prophet ﷺ has Ruqayya. When revelation comes, she's 6 years old. And when the Prophet received revelation at 40 years old, Kulthum is 3. And right about the time of revelation, hold up, y'all. Right when the Prophet ﷺ was saying to Khadija, I need to go spend time alone, Khadija's like, imagine. Imagine that. Subhanallah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I think this is important because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he taught us in a hadith, ma min muslim lahu thalatha banatun, any Muslim who has 3 daughters, fayunfiq alayhinna, he spends on them. Spends on them, splurges on them. My wife would be getting mad, why you keep buying them stuff? I'm like, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And my daughters be like, yo, let's go. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, whoever spends on them, hatta yubinina, until they themselves have children or they pass away. Illa kunna lahu hijaba minan nar. These daughters will be a hijab from the fire, a barrier between them and the fire of hell. There was a woman in the gathering when he said the hadith, there was a woman. May Allah bless this woman. Say ameen. She goes, what about 2 daughters? And the Prophet says, and 2 daughters too. And 2 daughters too. The Prophet sallallahu, Ahmed bin Hanbal, rahimahullah ta'ala, the narration, I wrote this beautiful narration down from Ahmed bin Hanbal. Ahmed bin Hanbal, rahimahullah ta'ala, whenever someone was blessed with a daughter, and I say this, there may be some converts in the room, new Muslims, they don't understand the cultures in this room. The cultures in this room, unfortunately, is if you tell your mother-in-law, oh, we had another daughter, she'll be like, TK, next time, inshallah. As if like you missed the mark or something. When our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, on the contrary, Ahmed bin Hanbal used to say, when anyone was blessed with a daughter, he would say, أَخْبِرُوهُ أَنَّ الْأَنْبِيَا آبَاءُ بَنَاتِ. He used to say, tell him, all of the Anbiya, what is it, girl dads? We're girl dads. Shu'aib, think about the story of Shu'aib. His daughters are feeding the flock. Musa like, why y'all doing this? They're like, what you mean, why we? Our dad is old, we ain't got no other brothers, it's us. Ahmed bin Hanbal used to say, Bashiruhu bi anna al-anbiya lahu banat. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was blessed with daughters, and I felt it so important to mention this because our cultures have gone so far away from what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam taught. It was these same daughters that when he was in sajda and someone throws the carcass or the intestines of a camel on his back to mock him, it was his own young 5-6-year-old daughter who's there pulling it off, cleaning him. And he's looking at her and he's saying, "Don't worry, baby. We'll be okay. Don't worry, honey. We'll be okay. Don't worry. We'll be all right." Allah gave him daughters in those moments. Allah gave him daughters in those moments because when your heart is being broken and the world around you is against you, it's nothing like a daughter. "Baba, don't worry, it'll be all right. It'll be all right." So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's house, I wanted us to recognize what his house was like. 35 years old, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has a whole bunch of young children in his home. But just because he had children doesn't mean he wasn't able to bring others into his home. Zayd bin Haritha taught us a lesson today. Zayd bin Haritha said, "I'd rather be a slave to Muhammad than free in this world." For me, that's a message, y'all. What does it mean? There's people of different levels of faith. When it says slave to Muhammad, we follow his sunnah. There's no worship. There's following of his pathway. As the world chooses different people to follow and like and subscribe on YouTube and follow their morning routines, I'd rather be a slave of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And with that said, brothers and sisters, what would in his footsteps be like if we didn't read from the description of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? I've chosen to read a portion of his description that has a deep connection with the month of Ramadan. And after this, we'll stop, we'll make our dua and get ready to break our fast. As we read this, I want you to connect your heart to him. I want you to see him. I want you to think about the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, and send salawat alayhim, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The description of the Prophet's generosity. Jabir radiallahu anh says, "Never was the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam asked for anything to which he said no. He was never asked for anything, but he gave it. After which he would return to his provisions for the year that he had saved, and he would prefer the seeker over himself, often being in need before the end of the year if nothing came to him. Seldom was the messenger of Allah asked to do something for someone except that he did it for them." Ibn Abbas says, listen closely, y'all. "The messenger of Allah was the most generous of people in goodness. Anything good, he's there for you. He's there. What do you need?" He was most generous in the month of Ramadan, when Gabriel would meet him and review the Quran. When the Quran was being recited, his generosity was increased. When Gabriel would meet him, the messenger of Allah was more generous with good than a swift breeze. They say they describe his generosity as like a breeze, because if you're just in the room, you get hit with it. That's his generosity. Umar ibn Khattab, listen to this narration. Umar reported that a man came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and asked him for money. To which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "I have nothing, but go and purchase something in my name." Sallallahu alayhi wasallam. "Go and purchase it in my name. And when something comes, I'll pay it back." Upon hearing this, Umar got angry. Umar was like, "Ya Rasulullah, I already gave him." Subhanallah. That dude just hit me up. What did the Prophet say? He goes, "Allah, I just paid him, Ya Rasulullah. Allah has not imposed upon you what you cannot do." The Prophet disliked what Umar said. He just looked away. "I didn't like what you said." He didn't say anything, but he didn't like what he said. Another of the Ansar, of the people of the helpers, he said, "Ya Rasulullah, spend. Spend from the wealth of Allah and don't fear a reduction of wealth. Don't fear that the one who owns the throne, Allah, will give you less. When the Prophet heard this, he smiled. He smiled. He liked when people encouraged him to be more generous. He smiled. And then he looked at the man and he said, "This is what I've been commanded to do, O Umar. To give. To give." Another narration states, a man once came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, asking him for something. And he gave a flock of sheep so large that it filled a valley between two mountains. The man went back to his people. He said, "Y'all better become Muslim." That man gives like someone who doesn't fear poverty. He gave the dunya to win people's akhirah. We sell our akhirah for a little bit of dunya. You feel me? That's the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This man saw generosity. He saw generosity and he said, "This gotta be true. How's this man just gonna give me a flock of sheep? As if he doesn't care about wealth. Unless he's true. Unless he's a true prophet of God." He said, go accept Islam. His whole tribe came. Whole tribe came. In another narration, Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she says, and we'll end with this one. Aisha reported that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would accept gifts and give gifts in return. He would take a gift, he would give gifts. A woman once came to the Prophet of Allah with a cloak. She said, "O Messenger of Allah, shall I give it to you for you to wear?" Now, the narrator says the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at that time was actually in need. He needed it. So he took it and put it on. He had it on for maybe 5-10 minutes. When one of the companions saw him wearing this new drip, he sees the Prophet wearing this new cloak, and he says, "Ya Rasulullah, this is so beautiful." Now, you never say this is so beautiful to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because you know what he's going to do next. It's yours. It's yours. SubhanAllah. He said, "Ya Rasulullah, it's so beautiful. Give it to me to wear." The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Yes." "Hold up, y'all. You just got it 5 minutes ago? You just got it 10 minutes ago? And your boy comes up like, "Yo, can I have that?" Like, "Man, can I break it in at least? Can I at least like crease the joints a little? You get the new J's, you just put them on." SubhanAllah. In that moment, the Prophet said yes. See, here's the deal. When you truly believe in the akhirah, you're not giving away, you're keeping. Let me explain. The Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one day there was a goat that was slaughtered. He brought it back to Aisha. We'll wrap it up so we can make dua. He brought this goat back to Aisha. And he said, "Aisha, distribute some of it." So she starts to distribute it until there was nothing left except the shank or the shin. He comes back home and he's like, "Yeah, Aisha, can I have some of the goat?" She's like, "Nothing remains except the shin." He's like, "No, flip it. Everything remains except the shin. Because we kept everything we gave away. Because the akhirah is real to me and you. Hereafter is real. I sent that forward." The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the man said, "Can I have it?" The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, "Yes." When the Messenger of Allah got up, because he had to go in the house to change. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got up, the Sahaba got angry. The other companions, the moment the Prophet moved, now they're on him. They said, "That's not right, bro. The Prophet just got it, and you're going to ask him for it? Especially when you know he never," look what they say, "he never denies anyone anything. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." Bruh, sorry. My bad. Listen, we live in a time when people are so stingy. If you just embody this aspect of the sunnah, do you know how many people will be coming to accept Islam? We are at a time when people are grabbing onto everything. And when you embody the true sunnah, what, you need $10? Go ahead. Take it, man. What, you need a ride? Come on, I got you. You need something to drink? You need a coffee? People are like, where'd these people come from? We came from the sunnah. And we live in the sunnah. And we're waiting all day for these opportunities. I was waiting for you to come. They said to the men, and we'll conclude. They said to the men, you knew he was going to give it to you. That's not right. Do you know what he said? Do you know what he said? He said, wallahi, y'all don't get angry. I didn't ask it from him, for him to give it to me to wear. I just want to be buried in it when I die. Even he wasn't thinking about dunya. He said, I only asked them so I could be buried in it when I die. It touched his body. I just want to be wrapped in it when they put me in the grave. They said, all right, man, you're on another level. You had another level. We thought you was in the dunya. You in the akhirah already. You're already there. This was our Habib sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And this is what we want to embody. In this blessed month, let us embody this aspect of who he was. Let us ask Allah to let us know him. Let us ask Allah to let us know his prophet. Let us love his prophet. Let us be like Zayd and choose him over this world. Let us see him as a father that taught us how to worship Allah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open our hearts in these nights of Ramadan. We ask Allah to give us love of the Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to let us fill our nights with ibadah and getting close to him, ya Allah. We ask you to guide us. Ya Allah, we ask you to alleviate the suffering of our brothers in Gaza and Palestine, ya Arhamar Rahimin. Ya Allah, we ask you to give them tranquility in tuma'nina from you in their hearts, ya Arhamar Rahimin. Ya Allah, we ask you to bless our family members with goodness, ya Arhamar Rahimin. Ya Allah, those of us who are struggling in our families financially, emotionally, mentally, in any way, ya Allah, we ask you to put peace, kindness, goodness, and afia in our homes, ya Arhamar Rahimin. Ya Allah, we ask you to guide the hearts of those who are seeking to know you, ya Allah. We ask you, ya Allah, to let them know you, ya Allah. We ask you to open their hearts so they know who you are, ya Arhamar Rahimin. Ya Allah, we ask you to guide us by the blessing of this gathering, ya Allah. We ask you to allow us to get the best out of this blessed month of Ramadan, ya Allah. Let us use every moment in a way that pleases you, Arhamar Rahimin. Ya Allah, we ask you to bless this ummah. Ya Allah, those who have just converted, we ask you to keep them strong, ya Allah. Those of us who have been Muslim our whole life, but we are converting, ya Allah, make us strong. Ya Allah, those who are growing in their faith, ya Allah, we ask you, ya Allah, water the seed of iman in their hearts, ya Arhamar Rahimin. Ya Allah, we ask you to give us a love of your book. Ya Allah, give us a connection with the Quran. Allow us to read it, to study it, to hold it, to love it. Ya Allah, allow us to connect to it, ya Arhamar Rahimin. Ya Allah, again, we ask you to help our brothers in Palestine. Our brothers and sisters suffering around the world, we raise our hands and we beg of you, ya Allah. Ya Allah, we raise our hands to you and beg of you, ya Arhamar Rahimin. Ya Allah, we ask you to shower down your mercy upon us and them, ya Arhamar Rahimin. Ya Allah, anyone who has taught us anything that has gotten us closer to you, we ask you to give them the best of the world rewards in the hereafter, ya Arhamar Rahimin. Ya Allah, we ask you, ya Allah, to allow us to always benefit from these gatherings, ya Arhamar Rahimin. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wa salamun ala al-mursaleen. Walhamdulillah. With just a few minutes left, brothers and sisters,